Okay. Let's see if we get Joey here. I'll turn this fan off and get some noise out of the way here. Joey, you ready?
Okay.
Here we go.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
Hello, y'all. Well, have mercy on me here while I try this song. It's called Oh Brethren, Don't You Hear the Trumpet Sound. Okay, so here we go.
Oh, brethren, don't you hear the trumpet sound? Bringing liberty to every man who has been bound. Don't you hear, can't you see? It's the year of Jubilee. Wave your branches high and set the captives free. Oh, brothers, listen as I sing this song. The Lord is blowing his trumpet in Mount Zion. Don't you hear, can't you see? He's coming in great fury. Lift your voices high, cry out to be set free. Oh, sisters, listen as I sing this song. The Lord is blowing his trumpet in Mount Zion. Don't you hear, can't you see? He's coming in great fury. Lift your voices high and fight to be set free. Oh, brethren, don't you hear the trumpet sound? Bringing liberty to every man who has been bound. Don't you hear, can't you see? It's the year of Jubilee. Wave your branches high and set the captives free. Oh, brethren, don't you hear the trumpet sound? Bringing liberty to every man who has been bound. Oh, don't you hear, can't you see? It's the year of Jubilee. Wave your branches high and set the captives free. Oh, wave your branches high and set the captives free.
Thank you all. Good night.
Amen. Thank you, Joey. Okay, how's everybody doing out there in Pow Talk Land? Everybody's doing good? Okay, well, the boys wanted to sing another song. I should turn this down a little bit. See what we're doing here. Yeah, okay. One, two, three. Yeah, it's all right. The boys have wanted to sing a song, so we're all going to sing one now. You ought to recognize this once we start singing it, all right?
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Christ was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make man holy, let us die to make man free. While God is marching on, glory, glory, hallelujah. sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant at my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I have seen him in the watchtowers of 100 circling camps. They have filled it in with altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Fiery gospel writ in burnished rolls of steel. As ye deal with my contender, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of woman crush the serpents with his heel. This God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Okay, so much for talent night. How's everybody doing out there in Plow Talk Land? Everybody doing all right? Good. All right, praise the Lord. Okay, who has something to share before we start off tonight? What's the Lord doing in your life? Anybody got anything to share? No? Okay. Lord's not doing anything in anybody's life. Okay, well, if you know anything right now, maybe you have something to share or say afterwards. So we're going to continue on this America thing, since this is voting season. I want to start tonight with a scripture, two scriptures actually, one in Proverbs and one in John. First was in Proverbs 17:15, and it says, "He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord." John 7:24 says, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." So I have a question I'm going to ask, you know, before we start tonight for everybody that's listening. It's, why do you think so many Christians agree with and propagate the lies of these left-wing America haters when it comes to the role that religion and the Bible played in the founding of this nation? I mean, seriously, the evidence in America was established on biblical principles and on biblical law and on principles of Christianity is irrefutable. It's everywhere. In the writings of the forefathers of the nation, especially in the papers that they wrote to explain the new Constitution, the Federalist Papers, there's landmarks all over the country, especially in Washington, D.C., where you can see that God was a central part of the government, their worldview, their outlook. But people just reject it, and they just say America was not founded by God. It couldn't have been founded by God for all these different reasons. Well, our country was founded by people who, if they weren't genuine believers, they certainly aligned themselves with the Christian religion or the Christian principles of religion, you know. Yet, secularists, leftists, communists, humanists, atheists, and deluded Christians have been methodically and deliberately revising, let's say more like deleting, our religious heritage and history for over 75 years now in order to, you know, suit their own secular agenda. And after all that time, they still haven't managed to purge all the evidence. I think, especially in the case of Washington, D.C., it's going to take another 75 years for the ACLU to completely purge that town of all the evidence of the godly inheritance and godly influence in this country. In the nation's capital, everywhere you look, you'll see the propagation of government-funded Christianity, which is against the First Amendment. And I'm sure that many people who have taken tours of Washington, D.C. over the years were surprised when they got there and saw all the concrete, I mean literally, concrete evidence that the founders of America were neither neutral or hostile towards Christianity, and that the true intent of the First Amendment has been hijacked and turned on its head. The corner of 17th and Constitution Avenue is a pretty good place to start. Within 2 or 3 minutes walk, you'll see a lot of things. You'll see Moses with the Ten Commandments in the rotunda of the Library of Congress. You'll see the prophet Daniel tucked away behind some bushes on the property of the Organized American States building, which is funded by Congress. An inscription on the Daughters of the American Revolution building says, let us raise a standard to which the wise and honest can repair the event. The event is in the hands of God, along with the scripture verse, Proverbs 22:28. You'll see a time capsule at the Department of Interior. That includes, among other things, a Bible. You'll see a statue of General Jose Artigas with a cross on his boot, right on Constitutional Avenue, right on federal property. You'll see a cross and a Star of David. Talk about Judeo-Christian heritage. A star and a cross of David on the wall of the Korean Veterans Memorial. At the Liberty Worship statue, that rests on the Ten Commandments outside the Ronald Reagan building. Four paintings, two which show prayer meetings, one which is depicting a Bible study, and the last one is depicting a baptism, are in the rotunda of the Capitol building. You go further, you'll see a stained glass window picture of George Washington praying in the chapel in the Capitol building. You also find references to God at the Washington Monument, the Lincoln Memorial, the National Archives, the Senate and House Office buildings, the U.S. Supreme Court, the Jefferson Memorial, and the Library of Congress. In the main reading room of the Library of Congress, there's a bronze statue of Moses holding the Ten Commandments, and on the ceiling is a painting called Judea, which shows a young Israeli woman raising her hands in prayer to God. Moreover, there are scriptural quotes on the walls. One of them says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Down that hallway, the main lobby, two Bibles are on display. In the National Archives, there's a bronze medallion on the floor, and the Ten Commandments are front and center, right in that medallion, for everyone to see. At the Jefferson Memorial, God's name is mentioned numerous times, including the famous quote, "God who gave us life, gave us liberty." Another inscription on the wall of the Jefferson Memorial says this, "Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we remove their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people, that these liberties are a gift from God?" And I say, well said, Mr. Jefferson. It's a shame that so many Americans don't have enough brains to understand what you meant when you said those words. It's sad that the majority of Americans let left-wing idiots use your writings to try and prove that you believed just the opposite of what you believed, that the liberties of a nation can remain secure after removing God as the basis of government and political life. It's a shame that they're too stupid to realize that once you remove God as the basis of government, as the basis of individual freedom, the only power left is the power of the state. And that power becomes the basis of your freedom. The belief that our freedom comes from the state, that's the foundation of communism, fascism, and all totalitarian systems, you see. So the people who are calling for the radical separation of church and state, they're actually calling for the overthrow of our original form of government and its replacement with communism, fascism, totalitarianism, or anything else that comes out of the idea that your rights come from the state, not from God. You also see words like nation under God, Bible, and prayer everywhere at the Lincoln Memorial. In the Senate and the House building offices, there's plaques that say, "In God We Trust." At the Washington Monument, you're going to see almost 200 carved plaques, which are donated by individual states, and many of them show scripture verses from the Bible, while others have sayings like "Holiness to the Lord" inscribed on them. On the outside of this monument, up at the top, There's an aluminum tip in glass, and there's a Latin phrase inscribed on that aluminum. It's like a triangular hat. And the Latin phrase is Las Dio, which means praise be to God. All right, now when they repaired that monument a few years ago, they turned that angle, which is a three-sided triangle, and they turned the triangle, the part that had that inscription, praise be to God, back towards the wall, so nobody could see it. There's also tribute blocks. They line the staircase of that monument, and they're inscribed with all kind of Bible verses, like, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Another one says, search the scriptures. Another one says, holiness unto the Lord. These are our national monuments, people. There's a sculpture in front of the U.S. District Court building showing the cross and the Ten Commandments. You see, the founders of America wanted future generations to acknowledge the hand of God in the founding of this nation. And even the Capitol building is a witness of this. The mighty rotunda in there, the center of the Capitol, features a dramatic oil painting that impresses upon the visitors the direct intervention of God from the earliest days of our history. The painting portrays the landing of Columbus in Western world in 1492, and Columbus's eyes are cast towards heaven in thanks and praise as others around him kneel to God in gratitude. When the Capitol building was built, its designers were well aware of the dependence of the members of Congress upon God and prayer. The 83rd Congress designated a small room in the Capitol building near the rotunda that is always open for the private prayer and meditation of members of Congress. This room is open whenever Congress is in session and stands as a witness to the need for prayer by our nation's leaders. The focal point of the room is an intricate, stained glass picture, like I mentioned. It pictures George Washington kneeling in prayer. And surrounding him are the words from Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. These evidences of the religious nature of America's founding aren't coming from people like David Barton or Glenn Beck. This isn't revisionist history we're talking about. This is the nation's heritage laid out for all to see in concrete, in art, in plaques, in all kinds of inscriptions that were done since the days of the Republic. Anyone who visits the nation's capital with an open heart cannot help but walk away in awe and gratitude for the God whose hand was so heavy on this nation and this people. Of course, these leftists want to expunge all that. So the first step they're doing to expunge all this stuff is they're building new monuments, okay? New monuments in the Capitol, and none of these new monuments have any references to God at all. The second step was to build a $600 million replica of the Capitol building. It's underground, and that replica has been cleansed of anything Christian. I got a link on my notes here to a video, short video, that I have called The War on God, and it tells you exactly what these people are trying to do in Washington, D.C. Now I ask you, how can Christians side with humanists and secularists and communist organizations like the ACLU and say that God didn't establish his nation? Why would they support people who claim America was founded as a secular nation? And how can Christians accuse those who are trying to restore what all these God haters have removed and edited out of our history, and they call these Christians who are trying to restore them right-wing propagandists, right-wing revisionists? These are left-wing Christians, left-wing Christians, and they don't know how to judge righteous judgment. Righteous judgment requires an unbiased desire for the truth. Such an unbiased desire does not exist in the hearts of Christians who side with leftists and atheists and humanists who hate what this country stood for and are as much as they can trying to eradicate everything of God out of it. Just like the atheists, leftists, religious leftists have an agenda, and that agenda stops them from exercising righteous judgment. They're all biased. Of course, they usually deny they're left-wing Christians, but you'll never hear them exposing the truth about how humanists and atheists and secularists have been rewriting American history for centuries. You'll never hear them ranting and raving about how the left has been expunging every reference to God and religion and Christianity from school textbooks for the last 50 years. Because they agree with the left's view of America. They agree with these humanists. They agree with these God-haters and atheists. They're in the same boat with them. They agree that America was created a secular nation which allowed religious liberty. So they intentionally turn a blind eye whenever American history is rewritten or revised by leftists, but they scream bloody murder when conservatives try to restore the truth that secularists have deleted out of our history. Now, Mr. Frew is just one of many of these people. And in a recent article we put up, in order to prove that America was established as a secular nation, he ends up doing what all leftists do sooner or later. He ends up pointing to the Treaty of Tripoli, which supposedly states that, in no uncertain terms, that America was not established as a Christian nation, it was established as a secular nation. Sooner or later, everyone who promotes the idea of a secular America tries to use this treaty like it's some kind of trump card. And he's no different. He's just following those who went before. In a recent article, this is what he says. Quote, the founding fathers were an eclectic group of white men. Well, something wrong being white? Huh? You don't like white people? Couldn't say just an eclectic group of men. Just say white men. Some claim Christianity, while some claim deism, while others claim no faith. Many owned slaves, and George Washington himself had hundreds of slaves. Oh, bad George Washington. He must be evil. He had slaves. And he was the richest American president. Oh, he's evil because he's rich too, of course. He says, you can read something about that here. He has a whole article showing how evil and unchristian George Washington was. He says, after the thousands had died and boys and girls had lost their fathers, the country became independent and was now a pluralistic nation. Because men did not want to establish any one religion, the Constitution made sure that all religions and all gods were acceptable within this new nation. The word Jesus appears nowhere in the original documents. And in the Treaty of North Africa, the Treaty of Tripoli, President John Adams ensured the Muslims with these words, quote, as the government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion, as it has in itself no character of enmity against the laws, religion, or tranquility of Muslim men, and as the said states never entered into any war or act of hostility against any Islamic nation, it is declared by the parties that no pretext arising from religious opinions shall ever produce an interruption of the harmony existing between the two countries. That's the Muslim country of Tripoli in North Africa, the United States. Mr. Frug goes on to say, I hope I did not burst your balloon. I hope I destroyed it. This self-delusional view of America, that America was established as a Christian nation, is diabolical and has been used by the devil to keep the church in bondage to a lie. And this lie has seeped into all areas of our lives, including diluting and nationalizing the gospel of Christ. And even when confronted with curious facts, most professing believers refuse to even allow their minds to question their patriotism, much less do a sincere investigation, and much, much less repent of their beliefs. In fact, even broaching the subject with many believers will elicit stern warnings and unkind words directed towards you, as if you're saying something about their God. And in some ways you are. Well, I said, okay, Mr. Frew, let's talk about sincere investigation. Even some leftists admit that the Treaty of Tripoli is a much debated document. Because Article 11 of that document, which says the government of the United States or America is not in any case since founded upon Christian religion, that sentence cannot be validated. That whole clause cannot be validated. And the reason it can't be validated is because the original document has been forever lost. The version of the treaty that's so prevalent on the internet, and which all these leftist morons use, is a fraud. And anyone who tries to pass that forgery off as a real thing is either ignorant of the truth or is willingly bearing false witness against the truth. In either case, they have not done a sincere investigation. Now, instead of simply quoting or following the arguments of left-wing God-haters, I suggest people like Mr. Frew start practicing what they preach. Okay, and conduct a sincere investigation of the Treaty of Tripoli. All right, and I explained what this is all about and how it's a fraud and why it's a fraud in part one or part two of my series, Was America Founded by Antichrist? I went through the whole thing. So I'm not going to go through it again, but it's a lie. The document's a fraud. What I'd like to do now here is look at the source Mr. Frew points to when he cites that supposed proof that America was established as a secular nation. Okay, the source he cites is the unofficial Stephen J. Gold Archive. Well, who exactly is Stephen J. Gold? Well, Stephen J. Gold is an atheist, Marxist, philosopher, and professor who came up with a variant version of evolution. Instead of slow, millions and millions of years evolution, he taught that evolution happens in jumps and bumps. Okay? You know, why is this Baptist minister quoting from the website of an atheist Marxist? I mean, you think somebody like Stephen J. Gould would be considered his enemy. Well, it seems like the only people that Mr. Frew considers his enemies are fellow Christians who refuse to accept his perverted view of Christianity and evangelism. Since the scripture says, which we read, he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just are an abomination to the Lord, I submit that Mr. Fru is an abomination to God, because he's constantly justifying the wicked, that is the unsaved. He's constantly protecting them, and he's constantly condemning the just. That's those who are justified by the blood. This guy's become obsessed with his own perverted form of Christianity. And anything that keeps people from seeing sinners, no matter how evil they are, as candidates for the gospel, instantly becomes his enemy. And right now, Christian nationalism and Christian patriotism are viewed by him as the biggest threat to his view of Christianity, because they don't see the lost as poor souls need to be saved. They see them as enemies who need to be dealt with. All right? And he can't stand it. It drives him nuts. And he's constantly ragging on us and ranting and raving on his website. He just can't stop it. He's obsessed. See, in order to be an effective evangelist, as far as he's concerned, you have to convince people in America that this nation was never a Christian nation, and that it was founded as a secular nation. Because if you convince people that America was never a Christian nation to begin with, then you short-circuit the whole idea, the whole concept of returning it to its Christian roots, of restoring it again. If you convince people it never was Christian, it was always secular, created by evil people, then people can't restore it, because you can't restore it to something it wasn't originally. So that's what he's trying to do. And you can see the progression in this guy's arguments against Christian America. And that progression is most likely related to the kind of left-wing propaganda he's been reading in order to support his own views. This guy isn't doing a sincere investigation of the whole issue. He's just regurgitating the arguments he reads on leftist, secular, atheist websites. First, he says America could not have been established as a Christian nation because it was established through war and bloodshed. Then he repeats the arguments of leftists that the original intent of the First Amendment was to make sure Christianity was not set above any other religion, that all religions, all world religions, all gods are on a level playing field. Then he comes out with a lie that the founders of the nation weren't really believers at all. At best, they were deists. You know, of course, deism is not Christianity. These are all lies. But you see, once you still open yourself up to that spirit, that left-wing, Christ-hating spirit that hates the fact that America was established on godly religious principles, on the Bible, nothing's good enough. Nothing. You're going to be forever discovering how evil the nation has been from the very beginning. It's an endless loop. Everyone and everything that has anything to do with the founding of America automatically becomes wicked. So first, all the men were evil. The whole notion of creating another country was evil. Bloodshed and rebellion. And all the founders were evil. Now it gets back to even the Puritans. Even the Puritans and the Pilgrims are evil. This is what he says. He starts out with this little overview of the continent, of who comes to the continent. He says, centuries ago, the Vikings landed in the upper part of North America, which is now Canada. Many years later, Columbus set foot in the Caribbean and proved that the world is not flat, that the New World could be reached. Adventurous souls would begin to visit the continent we know as North America. And Spain and Portugal were the first countries to establish small beachheads on the continent. So the first imported religion was Roman Catholicism. In the mid-1600s, Protestant believers, known as Puritans, came to North America in order to avoid the persecution of King Charles of England. They observed a much purer form of Christianity with a certain level of legalism. And most disturbing is that the Puritans viewed the Indians as devils and killed many in skirmishes and wars. Many captured Indians were sold into slavery and then sent to the Caribbean. The Puritans were by no means gentle, and they did not see the Indians as lost and in need of a savior. This kind of history is rarely taught in American public or Christian schools. There were recorded cases where Puritans slaughtered entire villages, and in fact, the tribe known as the Pequotes were essentially wiped out. He goes on to say, many modern Christians, idolize the Puritans and excuse their violence against the Indians as a necessary evil because the Indians were violent against them. It beggars the mind to understand how that kind of thinking can ever be considered aligned with the teachings of the New Testament. But when it comes to idolatry, the Old Testament Israelites had nothing on the Western Church. It seems the Puritans were much more interested in what people wore than in the souls of the American Indians. People were punished for the length of their hair, wearing lace, missing church, and one man returned home after a months-long journey and kissed his wife on the doorstep of his home and was placed in stocks for 2 days. The Puritans were more fond of the Old Testament than they were of the New. And they practiced an undiluted form of Calvinism. In many circles of Calvinism today, they are heroes of the faith. The strong delusion called America. That's the article's name. So if you listen to people's words long enough, the motives of their heart are going to eventually be revealed, okay? So now even the Puritans are evil in this guy's mind because they did not see the Indians as lost and in need of a savior, but instead viewed them as devils. The Puritans were wicked because they were much more interested in what people wore, external holiness, than the souls of the poor American Indians. And they are more fond of the Old Testament than they were the New. These are reoccurring themes in all this guy's writings. He's like got a one-track mind. Anything that causes believers to view sinners as enemies instead of poor, lost souls who are potential candidates for the gospel is attacked by Mr. Frua. He's like a mad dog, flaying around and attacking anyone who gets near it. Now, accusing the pilgrims of being self-righteous hypocrites and murderers, which is exactly what he's doing, he's accusing them of being self-righteous hypocrites and murderers who didn't even know the God of the New Testament, the God of love, tolerance, unending compassion, mercy, etc. But instead we're serving the God of the Old Testament, that nasty God of hate, intolerance, judgment, and punishment. That's a serious charge. I don't have the time in this session to debunk this oversimplified distortion, but rest assured it isn't very hard to disprove his perverted views. But anyway, in the first part of that quote, you may remember, he said this. He says, the self-delusional view of America that was established as a Christian nation, he's talking about, is diabolical, has been used by the devil to keep the church in bondage to a lie, and this lie has seeped into all areas of our lives, including the diluting and nationalizing the gospel. And anyone confronted with curious facts, and most professing believers refuse to even allow their minds to question their patriotism, much less do a sincere investigation, and much less repent of their beliefs. All right, now, we've already seen here that Mr. Frua is not really interested in a sincere investigation himself, because if he was, he would never have tried to use the Treaty of Tripoli to prove that America was established as a secular nation. So he's just doing what every left-wing American hater does. He tries to manipulate historical events and facts and situations to suit his own agenda, which is to prove that America has always been evil and has been started by evil men. Now next he says that when professing believers are presented with evidence to the contrary that contradicts their view of Christian America, they refuse to even allow their minds to question their patriotism. I don't think it ever crossed this guy's mind. I think his ego is so huge and he's so blind that it's never even crossed his mind that maybe the people who refuse to listen to his left-wing propaganda are doing so because they know he's wrong, he's deceived. And they know he's just regurgitating the old left-wing propaganda has not different 45, 50 years. I'm sure the thought never occurs to him that what he sees as a closed mind may actually be a mind that can judge righteous judgment regarding America's founding in history. He says that believing America was established by God as a Christian nation keeps the church in bondage to a lie, and that this lie seeps into all areas of our lives, including diluting and nationalizing the gospel. See, I know that Mr. Frua has never done a sincere investigation regarding America's founding because he frankly admits that he just accepted what he was taught by older right-wing patriot Christians when he was first saved. He came into the church and then these right-wing Christian patriots took him under their wing and taught him everything. He just accepted everything they taught him. He's also testified regarding his conversion to left-wing Christianity that came about not by doing a sincere study of the facts but by accepting various ideas, thoughts and questions about religion and politics, about the founding of the nation, which came into his mind. It was those thoughts and those questions are what transformed him, not a sincere study of the issues. And by the time he started to actually study the issues, he was already convinced of his beliefs. He's already a left-wing Christian. So the only study he's been doing is in order to prove what he already believes. You know, it's not been a sincere study. It's been a very biased study. Therefore, he's not judging righteous judgment. He's judging unrighteous judgment.